Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to Relationship 204. My name is Tanisha Simpkins. I'm one of the hosts here of Relationship 204. And if it's your first time, let me just go ahead and explain to you why we say 204. Why 204? Because relationships are just not one-on-one basics, but sometimes they can be complicated. We're here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The Thursdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We're here. It's normally about three men and three women. We discuss the challenges in relationships, and every ship that is, friendship, family, business, couples, whatever it is, we pretty much talk about it. I call this our therapeutic conversation. It is a faith-based conversation, so we invite you to have a friend, call a friend, send them the link, send them the phone number. And if there's anything that we're saying and you want to comment or add anything to it or ask a question, you can always just press the number one. We'll connect you. We'll say the last four digits of your phone number. And also, if you have any questions you would like to send us or add to our list or topics or anything like that, you can do so also by sending them to relationship204@gmail.com. So our topic and many of the topics that I have tonight is called Conversation Sex Lounge. And basically what that means is I have gotten so many different questions or interests of a topic from our viewers on questions related to sex. And there's nothing wrong with talking about sex, even if those who are saved in the faith or those who may not. We just want to make sure that you are comfortable when at an age that you are, that you can talk about sex to your partner, you know, to your parents or to whomever it is without feeling feeling biased of anyone that looks at you in that type of way. And also we have other topics, and one of the topic is, you can get your pad of paper ready. Would you redate the same person? I got this conversation from someone that sent in an email, and the conversation was, you know, Tanisha, my ex-boyfriend of a year, only just a year, has been, you know, writing or sending texts, wanting to stop by, you know, during the quarantine, of course, wanting to make sure that I'm okay. So he had been just sending things. And I'm feeling a little vulnerable, or maybe I just having some interest. I'm still attracted to him. You know, what should I do? I want to get back with this. I kind of want to get back with this person. I know they have interest in me, but because of our breakup, it was pretty hard. It was an emotional breakup, and, you know, some things that he'd done, he said he's sorry. I have forgiven him, but I'm not sure, you know. So before I let our guests answer this question, my answer, it has always been, if you listen to Relationship 204, I've always said that I don't do repeats. That's just me personally, Tanisha. I say, you know, I don't do repeats. I don't do repeats. I don't repeat the same thing again because it makes me feel like, you know, as the dog vomits, I'm just eating the vomit again when I know that it was bad the first time. I don't see myself because I will still have issues. Well, maybe I'm thinking I may have issues. I'm not sure. But I may have issues as to how we broke up or how I was feeling. They may rise up in some type of emotions, you know. So I wouldn't think that it would be fair to the person who I'm with or who's trying to pursue me again that I may feel this way. And I don't think it's fair to me that if I do feel this way, that I would just hold them aside and not really say anything and knowing that I'm feeling this way, because sometimes when you break up with someone, you go through those emotions of insecurities, you go through those emotions of anger or sometimes revenge, you know, you go through all those different things, and why would I want to get with somebody who I've already been with and be emotional or have anger, senses of anger every now and then, you know, with that person. Now, I could be wrong, you know, like I said, if you have comment or something to add to it, you can always press 1 and we'll just only say the last 4 digits of your phone number to chime you in. But those type of things, I feel like it's pressure to me. And then I thought about this because of what they said. Sometimes people do that to have you in, depending on them. A lot of times is what a person can do for you. You know, whether it's a woman or a man, it's what they can do for you, meaning if they can help you financially, if they can help you, I don't know, with a place to stay, if they can help you with a job, or if they can help you just socially, you know, of how they can help you, that you want them, they want you to feel dependent, you know, so now you're dependent on them, you know, in a sense. Well, they can tie you in, so yeah, you want to be in that relationship sometimes. And a lot of times for women and men, for men, you know, for a woman is normally financial, you know, them helping them out or voluntarily saying, well, let me help you with this, and then they prone to feel, you know, some sense of commitment or some sense of guilt of taking what it is from that person. You know, especially an ex person, because all of our ex pretty much know what we like and they know what we don't like. They've been with us, so they know what things that interest us, I would say. So they know what things to draw us in when it comes to that particular part of a relationship. So that's just my thought. That's only just my thought, Tanisha, when it comes to going back or retrieving back to the ex person, you know, of getting back into the relationship. And then I'm always thinking, like, now I have a 16-year-old daughter. How would that person feel, or how do your kids feel when they see her or she walk back into your house? You know, knowing kind of what you may have gone through, man or woman, because men go through emotions as well. Knowing what you went through with that person, how do they feel about it? You know, how do they come to the conclusion? Well, I guess, you know, I have to start respecting this person when I heard my mama and daddy already disrespecting them, you know, a year ago. We tend to think that way. All right, so that's just my piece on it, guys. I have others and co-hosts who will chime in. But before we do that, I just want to take a 30-second break and to let you guys know that I will be right back.
Someone like him, and all this time. would never know that he's the one. But after one conversation, you will see where I am coming from. His words are so gifted, his humor is so wicked. And he's a brainiac, and he makes me laugh like an aphrodisiac.
Hey guys, welcome back to Relationship 204. Again, my name is Tanisha Simpkins. I am one of your hosts here for Relationship 204. And why 204? Because relationships are not just one-on-one basic, but sometimes they can be complicated. So I was asked a question here, and the question is, considering COVID-19 with everything going on, I still want to meet new people. I still want to date. It's been since March, so it's already been 3 months, 3 to 4 months. If I meet someone now, am I still doing the precaution with that person? Are we not making out? I'm just going to assume they mean kissing. What is it should I not be doing or can I do? I know that we're being very cautious, but at the same time, when I meet someone, I still want to engage in some type of affection. I'll just use that word, some type of affection. Okay, wow. Okay, being that I am single, my name is Tanisha again, I am single. And of course, I have the opportunity of meeting someone. So what if I've met someone and I like that person? Precaution, what I use. I mean, not just me, but he would be thinking the same thing too. You know, do I touch her hand? Do I give her a kiss? Or do we put some plastic between us and kiss each other? You know, what about hugging each other? You know, all of those things, you know. Somebody just send me a text. Both people go get tested, you know, for COVID-19, you know, because it's every day, every weekend. Both people can go get tested. And that's true indeed, you know. Both people can get tested. You know, what is it that you do in your singleship of meeting people? Do you delay it? Do you put it off? I say not. And the reason I say that, because I think our precautions will be there for a long time. I know the government said, okay, at this time we'll be done, you know, then we can get back to normal. But that's not the case, and we see that's really not the case. So we just can't just quickly move on. So you would have to have some type of precautions. Is getting a test, two tests, is fine? That's fine. I mean, when AIDS was very prevalent, that was the thing with people. Hey, you get tested, I get tested, you know, before coming into a marriage. I don't know if they still do that with the insurance or whatever, but before coming into a marriage, you know, we get tested so we are assured. And that can be the same thing when it comes for COVID-19. Two people can get tested. If one of the persons feels like, I don't know, especially if one of the persons may be symptomatic, with diabetes, heart pressure, heart disease, lupus, sick as a, I don't know, any other things that you can name, or having conditions of maybe have had cancer at some point in time in the last 5 years. Those things do matter. So it's very important that, you know, if you do meet someone in your singleship, yeah, I do think you should be cautious. It's a serious thing, but at the same time, anyone wants affection. We all want affection. We all like affection. Our affection sometimes is just necessary. That's just sometimes that's just our love language, you know, most people's love language. But yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take another break, guys, and we'll be right back. Just give us another minute and about 2 minutes.
Oh, held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shirts together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
All right. I love that song. That's one of my very motivating songs. There ain't no stopping us now. And I played that song, guys, because in lieu of everything that's going on right now, we need each other. You know, we're in a space where we're empowered. We're in a space where we're moving forward. We're in a space where, you know what, all the little things that don't matter, like the reality TV shows, basketball, football, all those things do not matter right now compared to what's going on when it comes to us or black people, injustice and everything like that. You know, we're in that space where we're moving forward. Ain't no stopping us now. Ain't no stopping us when it comes to new laws being made, old laws being abolished, old statues being taken down. Absolutely. I'm one of those people. I support everything that the protest, the Black Lives, the Color of Change, most of the other ones that are out there. I support those things that are going on because they're important. And it's for us, because we are about relationships, it's for us to be in relation with those people, with everything that's going on. So I played that song, Ain't No Stopping Us Now, because I feel like this movement, because it is a movement, it is a true movement to your culture. And I know that word culture has been thrown out in so many different ways, but to your culture of who you are, meaning you should be very proud. If you've never been proud of who you are in your life, I mean proud of you being black, proud of your nationality, you know, proud of all of that. When it comes to the movement of the space that we're in right now, I know I have a co-host that's on the line right now, Shekinah. I was just telling everybody, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was just telling everybody, Shekinah and John, about how proud I am of the movement that we're in right now when it comes to everything that's going on. I was just playing Ain't No Stopping Us Now, meaning say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. That's all I was just saying to that. But I was also saying, guys, for your feedback when it comes to, I was talking about past relationships. You know, why do we go back to past relationship? One of the listeners asked. And I said, you know, I've always said on the show plenty of times, I don't do past relationships. You know, I'm done with it. When I'm done. I feel like I'm just going, like I regurgitating, I'm just going back to it, you know, me personally. Especially if it was maybe an emotional relationship. You know, that's just how I feel. And kudos to whoever can handle it. But if it was emotional, it may be some feelings that come up while I'm around you. And who knows what may happen or say or how the conversation may go, you know. So to protect us all, I'd rather not do it. You know, what are you guys' opinion about it?
I mean, I think that, you know, it's a real gamble. It's a real gamble. I've heard some relationships actually made it, and they stayed together, and some was like, nah, second time around, don't work for us. But it's a real, real gamble because, like you said, we have things that happen the first time around that when you try it again, there's things that may trigger past behavior. And although the person may not be that person no more, you still got those triggers from when the offense happened. You know what I'm saying? When the bad behavior happened. And you have to really accept the fact that you took that person back. And you said you forgave that person. So it's like a war within yourself until you conquer it, of not lashing out when you see past behavior, not overthinking it when you see past behavior, not thinking it is what happened back in the day. If this is something, it's the same thing. You have to be able to say, you know what, I forgave, I forgive, I'm going to move on. And that's challenging. And I want to say, you know, yes, that's a hard decision. I had to actually do something like that before where I had reasons why I wanted to, you know, backtrack. You still love that person. You got some type of history with that person. But when you dive in and you start to, you know, see some of those bad behaviors, you know, it was like, man, can I deal with this for the rest of my life? Knowing that, you know, it's really hard. It's challenging. It's real challenging. I'm with you, Tanisha. I'm like, if you do the X, let the X be the X. And just move on, because unless you're strong enough to deal with that battle that you have to deal with within yourself, because it's not about the other person. It's about you being able to deal with what they did to you or did wrong in a relationship. If you can deal with that constant mental battle, go ahead. More power to you. But I'm with you. I'm straight on that.
So John and Lou, so the question was, as you heard, you know, an ex wants to come back. It's only been a year. I don't even want to say 5 years. It's been a year. The relationship probably wasn't that great how it ended, but they want to try to rekindle things. And in a sense, you're still attracted to them, you know, but you're thinking, do I really want to get back into this relationship? Or you may have had somebody in your mind or who you thought of as some type of regret that I really would like to get back with this person. Tekina, I said no. Tekina said it's a gamble, but she's considered it. I mean, as men, you know, John, you can go first. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I'm with Kina on this. It is a gamble, but here's the thing: it could flip on either side of the coin. I'll tell you why. On one end, sometimes time causes us to forget why it is that we broke up. So maybe you say it's been a year. You had a bad year. You've been lonely. The dating scene hasn't been so great for you. And here you are. You've seen somebody that you connected with. And you forget just how bad things were. And you get back in. Only to come back and remember, oh, God, why did I? It took me forever to get out of this. And now I'm back in. And, you know, and in that sense, it's definitely a no-no. However, there are times, depending on what exactly happened in the relationship, there are times where you've had time to grow, you've had time to comprehend, you had time to evolve, and it could have been that it just wasn't the right timing. You know, I think sometimes people get together and they're truly in love, but they have not fully come to a place of maturity or a place where they can understand one another. And sometimes life can cause people to mature based on what happens. And so perhaps some kind of evolving happened. But ultimately, it's a gamble, case-by-case thing. It's not a definite no for me or a definite yes. It's a case-by-case. You know, let's say you broke up because a gentleman had a drinking problem, and he's gone through therapy. He did a 90-day program and has been sober for 9 months. You know, and is doing very, very well, and you're okay with
and
that.
I'm gonna add one thing to it. And then they help you financially, so now they want you to depend on them. You know, so they help you financially doing this and they doing that. What they pretty much know who you are and know what you like. You know, I know she liked nice purses or whatever, you know, so I'm a, you know, just start showering her with gifts and things of that. You know, Melon, we're talking about how people, you know, go back to old relationships, and is it a no, or is it a yes, is it a gamble? You know, I'm going to add that to it, the dependence part. So now she's lonely and she just keep calling you, Lou, saying, Lou, come on over, come on over. You know, and you remember how it was, right? We're just going to keep it real. And, you know, like, does that be a factor for it? You know, you can finish, John, but then, Lou, is that a factor that's added into it now?
Yeah, there's always factors that's added into it. You got to be careful. And here's when I say no, I always say no for toxic relationship that sometimes people had a hard time coming out of. You don't want to get yourself back in, especially if it took you forever to get out. But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes relationships end for petty things, very stupid things. And then sometimes you look back and you say, we were really stupid for ruining something phenomenal over, you know, something so petty. Sometimes both parties didn't want to let go of their pride at the moment, and nobody apologized, and time dwindled, and, you know, you lost out on a great individual. It all depends on the circumstance. I've seen both sides of the coin. That's why it's not a definite no for me, or, well, I mean, in my life personally, it's a definite no. But based on the situation, I couldn't just say no, don't do it to someone, and say, well, absolutely yes, do it to somebody, to someone who comes to me. It's a case by case scenario, and I would have to hear exactly what happened before drawing a conclusion.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Tanisha, this is Nellie Mail. What was the question?
I meant to say Gerald. Sorry. Well, the question was, you know, would you go back to an old relationship? You know, it's only been a year. It's not like a 5-year, 10 years ago, but it's been a year, and maybe that relationship didn't end so well. But that person came back and say, hey, please forgive me. I was stupid. You know, I want you back. And then I threw in that they may be showering you. Hey, let me pay your rent. You know, let me do this. Let me help you start your business. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, some type of dependence on it. Now they want to try and help you. So I was asking them, and Keenan was like, well, it's a gamble. You heard what John was saying. And Gerald, I'm sorry, I kept calling you Lewis. I want to hear what you say. You're younger. You know, you just got married. I want to hear what you have to say to it, because I know, you know, you have your own perspective of saying things. Go ahead.
Well, let me just say, first of all, I think that I'm going to have to agree with John. I can't really say to a person, yes, definitely, or no, definitely, because it's a case-by-case situation. But if you notice that this person, they come back to you, that, you know, they once in your life, and y'all were in a relationship, you broke up for whatever reason, but then they come back around and they come back into your life again, and they say, hey, I messed up, I was dumb, I was, you know, I made a mistake, I give me another chance. You know, if you notice that there's been real change in that person's life, by all means, I would say, like Shekinah, go. It's a gamble, but go for it, you know, and give it a chance. But if you already know, because some people are like this, some people, especially women, if you already know that you ain't going to be messing around with your ex, and they come back and they say, well, look, I've changed and I want another chance. And they start like Shekinah just Tanisha just said, showering you with gifts and paying your rent and paying your bills and taking you out to dinner, and I don't care how much you want a free meal. Yeah, being nice. I don't care how much you want a free meal. Don't be using that man for that free meal.
Oh my God.
Don't be using that man for that coach.
Okay, can I interject for a second?
No, you cannot. I'm talking right now.
I just came in. Okay, well, go ahead.
No, because I'm gonna tell you. No, absolutely not. Y'all, because women do that all the time. You already know in your mind that you don't want to get back together with this ex, but you're going to string him along just enough so you can get your rent paid for about 4 or 5 months.
Okay,
and get
okay,
that
well, Gerald, okay,
investment,
okay, you done said
that,
enough.
Get that
okay, Gerald,
meal.
You done said enough. Okay, everybody done talk. Now, here come Nellie Mail. Okay, here's Nellie Mail. Now, this is my take. Gerald, first and foremost, I agree with you. John,
what?
I agree with you.
What?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hear me out.
Oh, my God.
No, wait a minute. Hear me out. I agree with everybody's take and everybody's opinion on what, on this topic, because this can go both ways. Yeah, a woman can come back to a man and may go and say, okay, yes. And because maybe in this situation, she might be in a bind. And when he come back to her, okay, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, then you know what? It lined up and it helped her out. But men can also be going through the state because they didn't like the way they woman woke up and fold the towel, or she overcooked his steak. So now he all the way mad. So now he want to step out because he wanted his steak medium rare and she made it rare. You know what I'm saying? So now he's mad about nothing. So now he's outside of the house. So it can go either way. So that's why I'm coming into agreements with everybody on this call, because at the end of the day, Gerald, we can't just point finger at woman because she used a box mashed potatoes and you wanted homemade mashed potatoes. And man and woman, we can't fault man because we wanted our steak well done, and he wanted his steak medium rare to taste some flavor. So either way it go, everybody is right with their thoughts and their opinions on this call.
I don't know what just happened, but I'm hungry.
I believe Jesus is getting ready to come back tomorrow because Mel agreed with me. Oh my God.
I don't know what happened, but I think I want me a steak. I want a steak. Anybody else want a steak?
Okay. Medium. Not medium. So let me add.
Steak and homemade mashed potatoes, not box mashed potatoes. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Homemade.
Mashing good.
Get the mashing. Put that sour cream in that milk and that buttermilk in there. Come on, somebody.
Oh, my God.
So I got this question, guys. So I got this question, and the reason why I said conversation sex lounge is because I got two sex questions. And you guys, we know we don't normally always do
Let me answer first because the other guys are not ready, but I'll answer first.
Whoa.
Okay,
whoa.
Okay then. You might want to answer. So my question was, the young lady
did ask this question. Okay. Is oral sex considered? I'm going to put it in my words. Is oral sex considered the act of sex because we're not married? Is it okay because there's no penetration? This is what the whole thing is saying, because there's no penetration.
Okay. I'm going to answer that question from Melanie's point of view. Oral sex is the best part of anything. That's the best. That's almost like coffee. You know what I'm saying? It makes the day. It ends the day. It smooths the day. And I'm referring to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No matter what part of it, if it's going, you giving your man fellatio.
Oh my God. Or vice versa.
But that's the best part of the day, no matter if you wake him up for work with it, or he wake you up, or you meet him for lunch with it, or y'all at a family function and you go to the bathroom and you text, "I'm in my auntie."
Answer the question.
I think I did it somewhere.
Is it sex? Is it still considered sex?
Yes, it is. Yes, because at the end of the day, you still getting off. No matter when or what time of the day, you getting off.
So you say it is still considered sex.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Morning, noon, or night, it's still considered coffee, lunch, or dinner.
Folgers, Dunkin' Donuts,
okay.
Or Starbucks. Whatever y'all like.
I guess.
Shakita, what is your
app?
Is oral sex considered sex?
Don't bring my sister in on it.
I plead the fifth. Sex.
You plead the fifth? That's
Don't let me put no label in front of your name. Okay.
Don't try.
All right.
Tanisha, what's your answer, Tanisha?
Yes, it's sex. Yes. Well, you know, it's intimacy. Okay. It's a different form of sex. You know what I'm saying? Sex is intimacy, and that is intimacy. Whether it's parts of your body, you know, or not, it's still used for sex designed to create intimacy. And I know a lot of people tangle with that. Well, we just had oral. We didn't have penetration sex, so it's not the same. You'll hear a lot of people say that it's not the same. But sex is intimacy if we're going to go there. So it is considered that. Is it breakfast, lunch, and dinner and all that in Folgers? Absolutely. All right. Since you want to know my answer. So I'm going to ask the second question here.
Can I give my
answer?
Go ahead,
Gerald. I know you have something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got something. I want to encourage the young lady to ask that question because, you know, I've been there where you want, you know, you're getting to know that person and you're burning it, but you want to do things the right way in the eyesight of God. Remember that you are giving, I think oral sex is a very, very intimate way of expressing your love or your feelings for your spouse or your partner. And spiritually speaking, it is, glory, it is, I think, even more.
Glad you got married last week. Go ahead.
I didn't get married last week. I got married. I'm not going to dignify that answer. Let me finish my answer. Praise the Lord. Anyway, young lady. Anyway, I think you should really, really, really think about it. And everybody, we should all think about what it is to be intimate in that way with a person, because it can really, really bring create some really a strong soul ties, a strong connection. That's just my opinion on the matter.
I want to hear what John got to say.
Oral sex is sex. The word sex is present there, and I'm actually with Gerald. It is still very intimate. There are other things that I think can bond you to somebody, but oral sex is still sex. I don't think it's as strong as penetration, but it's still very intimate, a very intimate act, both to someone who is receiving or performing. Either way, I've seen people hook so solely off oral sex, and if things don't work out and that person gave you the best head you ever had in your life, Lord have mercy, you got a situation now on your hands. There was a man I saw on Instagram, the funniest thing ever. He is in his 60s, and the man was raped, but he don't know he was raped because he said somebody gave him oral sex when he was a little boy, and he said it was the best oral sex he ever had in his life. He said, I told my wife if I could find the individual again, I'll leave her for him.
And God.
Did you hear the term that I used? So the brother was
leave her.
Violated, and but that stuff created a something there, and he's in his 60s, still talking about how good that was. He ain't never had nobody do oral sex that good for him. And so it's a very strong and powerful intimate act. And so I would try to hold off if marriage is being talked about. Sometimes holding off is good. I'll tell you why. That building of anticipation when that honeymoon comes, the sex hits different. You know, the orgasm is different because there was this buildup, this anticipation. And when that thing comes together, Lord have mercy, it's an explosion. And so there's beauty sometimes in waiting, and sometimes it helps to find the beauty and not just look at the agony of it all and say, oh, my God, I'm getting sick and tired of this, and try to find the beauty of anticipating and waiting for that glorious day. So that's my response.
That's nice and all, but you always hear people say that they have to test. They don't want to get into a relationship. And Christian people say it too. Now, we're just going to keep it real, that they got to test out. You know whether they're Christian or not, they say I got to test it to see, you know, if it's something that I have to, that I'm going to have a longevity for, you know, will they please me, and I'm not going to just test it one time. I have to test it multiple times to really see.
Tanisha, let me say something, because you just brought in something that's a big issue now. So I was told there are certain, if I could get just a little, I'm not trying to get too graphic, there are certain vaginas and certain penises that are better matches. Jesus, how do I explain this? There are size.
It's called the perfect fit. Yeah, people say it. It's
yeah, you know, there are certain size that works for an individual that don't work for another. Sometimes too big, sometimes too small. I found out even women. You know, there's a young lady they call BP. I just found out why they call her BP. I didn't know. I thought it was about the gas station, but Big P means Big P. And so everything don't fit. Lord, y'all just figured it out.
That's Big P.
Oh, my God.
Just like guys,
oh,
like you know the field.
Oh, y'all just gonna let that fly by, right?
Oh my Lord! So everything don't fit and everything don't match, and so I understand the severity and the, you know, the man. Let's be honest. Imagine you waited, you married somebody, and I've heard of women. I have a friend that's a nurse, and she tells me there's a lot of men that come in, and they have this. I don't think it's an illness or disorder. They just have micro penises, literally. Smaller than that of a child. And or, you know, you got women that are big peas. And it just, no matter
stop
what you do. And no matter what you do, you just can't.
What's wrong with John tonight?
You just can't seem to, you know, to please the individual. And so that's a scary
all right,
scenario.
Joe,
let's be honest.
We get it. Anybody else?
Whatever.
Joe got thousands of listeners.
I forgot what the question was. Now, what was the question?
Let me answer that. So I think that, I don't think that we should be testing. You know, I feel like if you're confident in your game and in your size, you should be able to work with whatever you get. You know, I don't think you have to really test it. I think that, you know, if two people love each other, y'all will figure out how to make it great. You know, even if somebody has got a little desert going on, they got stuff for the desert to make it moist. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that, you know, you and your spouse to figure out how to make it work, whether they, you know what I'm saying? I don't think you got to do all the testing, but that's just my opinion.
Let me answer correctly for the Christian folks on the church line. On the line, so y'all won't say Pastor Gerald said for me to go out and test drive. I think that, listen, it's all about your conversation and really set everything out on the table in the beginning of the relationship. You find out what it is that they're into, what they like and what they don't like, and if they can't do it for you in conversation, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be able to do it for you in the bedroom, child. So, you know,
that's
if
good.
That's something that you can't work out.
That's good.
That's something
wow,
that you can't
Gerald.
Work out.
Wow.
You know, women have a way of testing how big a man is. you know, y'all be hugging him all close, you know, and be, you know, touching him on his ear and stuff. And he wants to say, well, come get your hug.
Well, there is a myth,
y'all do that,
though.
That feel
there's
thing.
A myth. There's a myth, Gerald, that women, not all women, but some women identify men from their private parts by their hands or their feet. And I can't
they
see
do.
If that's right or wrong. By their hands. When they meet a guy, they always, if you ever notice, they're looking at your hands. They're looking at your hands. They're looking, you know,
yeah.
I like to see if they clean, but they're looking at your hands. And they're looking at your feet,
that,
you know.
I hope they find out that it's true, that that's a myth. I hope
no.
a man, you don't get a man with some big hands and then get disappointed on your wedding day. I just really hope that. I just really hope so. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I want to ask, last week I did ask, John, what was in your inbox this week from your listeners or fans? Go ahead. John be having some crazy stuff. John.
I'm sorry, I was muted. There's always things in my DM in particular, quite a few things. One such scenario that always keeps popping up and popped up this week is the issue of ghosting. Ghosting. A young lady said the relationship was going well, very well. Not the relationship, the dating phase. They went on quite a few dates. He was calling every day, good morning. Everything was great. And then one day he stopped, and the brother, she never heard from him ever again. And my question to the sister was, did she reach out to him? She said no. And I think there's an issue with the pursue process. I think... I think women, to some degree, have to inspire men, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. I think it's one thing for a man to be going all in, but nobody likes to be putting effort and feeling a sense of rejection. And there are a lot of women who oftentimes really are into a man, but they're not showing it because they're taught to be a certain way or taught to play hard to get. And when a woman isn't receptive, you're almost pushing a man away without knowing. And upon her sending me some text messages, I noticed he was really going in and being as sweet as he can, and her answers were so short, and she was clueless. But I could clearly see, yo, you sound like you're not interested. She was like, what do you mean? I responded back. I said, thank you. I really was into him. Well, I couldn't see that. I don't think he could either. And so the ghosting thing is a situation that we got to deal with. I think we got to look at both sides of the coin. And so I don't know what y'all think about people ghosting, and I know ghosting in itself is always wrong, always wrong. However, do you think it's justified in this case if a man is putting in all the effort and the young lady's not even being receptive to it?
That could happen. I can see that may happen. Because I've been ghosted, you know.
No.
I ain't really care. I'm going to try to call and find out.
No. Why they ghost you?
Yeah. Right?
Just ghosted
but I just,
you.
I just, huh?
He just ghosted you. Just
I can
woke
think
up
of
one
some
day
reason.
And he was gone.
Yeah, he ghosted, you know, and I, you know what my reason was? I felt like, I'm going to tell you, if you ghost me, I just feel like after the conversation, you just felt like you couldn't measure up. I'm, that's just how confident and just arrogant I am when it comes to that.
Come on now.
So
that's
all
I felt. Let me ask this question.
Yeah, that's all I felt.
Let me ask this question. Sometimes, because John just said something that was, I think we should pay attention to. He said he asked the young lady, well, he didn't reach back out to you. Did you reach back out to him? I mean, what if most of the ghosting is that's going on is because the women, sometimes men don't want to be, we don't want to be the one that's always initiating contact. What's wrong with y'all saying, as women saying, hey, I was thinking about you and I wanted to initiate, you know, I want to contact you. I noticed that you didn't call me today. I'm feeling the way. Come,
what's wrong with that? Like John just said, I think the problem is when a man sees that you're not as interested as he is or receptive to the effort that he's putting forth. And sometimes men will test you like that. They'll be like, okay, I'm not going to call her today. I'm going to see if she's going to call me. And so when we see that you're not interested.
No. And that's all good, Gerald. But what I think is that when man first meet woman in any situation, 80 out of 20, if a man can meet a woman, it's because he's having a lover's quarrel with his wife, girlfriend, baby mama, or whatever. Ooh, so now he's interested in meeting next woman. So therefore, if he met a woman at a whole function and then he didn't reach out to her next day, and then maybe he wondering why she didn't reach out to him, because, player, you wasn't genuine from the beginning. You only trying to talk to me because you having a lover's quarrel, because you and your wife is having a lover's quarrel, because you and your baby mama in-house pool nanny, you know, girlfriend, whatever you want to call it.
Most of these single men out here ain't out here trying to.
But let me stop you right there. You saying most single men. What is the scale of single men right now? Again, 80, 20, 20, 80. It really ain't no single men, because if you laying down sleeping with a woman, no matter if you being in or out or y'all just cuddling, you're not single. It's what I'm trying to tell
Lord,
you. No matter if you sleeping on the recliner right now, you still not single, because you 5 steps away from the room. So you're still not single is what I'm trying to tell you. But because you didn't like the way she made your spaghetti or macaroni, you done ran to the bar and met a whole other woman.
Let me go ahead and ask this question, Mel. Did your man get mad at you because you didn't make his dinner?
Let me bring you back. Let me stop you right there, because this is a talk blog show about everybody else's problems and thoughts. We ain't finna break a bath, so if you want to dig through the mug, and don't make me get excited, baby, so we ain't even got
hear me out.
We ain't got time for me to dig you up from the grave and bury your ass back, so we not gonna bring me up in this situation right here. So for you to keep your shit together, you gonna leave mine out of here, and we gonna keep on the topic. That's what we going to do. Period.
Okay, let me go
on
right
tonight, baby.
All right.
Let me answer the question for John Inbox. But what I was thinking is, I think when two people meet each other, they don't understand each other's dating style. So you know, you got to learn somebody's work ethic, somebody's work style. There's a dating style too. And sometimes you have a woman who's just not aggressive or not as vocal, or maybe be more short in her response. It don't mean she don't like you, but she may just not know how to engage. She may be shy. I think it could be different things. I think he should be patient. I mean, the guy should be patient with her and just see if this is not a ghosting thing, but maybe this is her dating style. Why rule her out right away because her answers are short, John, when this just may be her dating style?
Can I say something? I hear you. It's that same grace extended to men, though. What if his dating style is not to be aggressive or a pursuer? Then what? Will women be gracious towards a man? Oh, no, girl, he just ain't the one for me. He just ain't it. He just can't, you know. I think we'll have to be fair.
Because It's because, can I say something? It's because y'all don't speak the same lover's language. And that's why you and her don't mesh, because y'all don't speak the same lover's language. And that's why you was able to pick up on her and get instantly turned off, because y'all don't mesh. And just take that as a sign that, you know what, no need to force it. And just move on. And it's okay to move on, because when it's meant to be, y'all gonna naturally mesh. It's not even gonna be forced. Now, if you got to force it, if the first thing she do, if she pop her lips and she take her gum out her mouth and put it on the side of her plate while y'all out dinner, you already know you uninterested. You know what? Go ahead and pay that tab. Let her pay that tab and go ahead and get up out of there. But when it's meshed, it's just gonna naturally flow. It's gonna be effortless. So in the event that you feel that you had to run, then guess what? Tuck your tail and run, because trust me, I have done that. If I had to get to the point to where I was completely uninterested, I asked, can I be excused to go to the restroom? I went and paid the tab and left a tip and hauled, excuse my French, ass. It's what I'm trying to tell you, and ain't nothing wrong with that.
You're
because
right.
Y'all don't speak the same lover's language. So it ain't no
like
need
to
waste your time, daytime, nobody time, because let me tell you something. What we can't get back in life is time. And what I will not allow a person to do with Melanie is waste my time. Like, you can waste a whole lot of things, but you will not waste my time, because my time is money. And you can't get both of them back. So
absolutely.
I be completely uninterested
absolutely.
And quick.
Right.
And you
right,
can call
right.
me what you want, but you won't call me a few things. You will not call me broke, and you will not say that I spent my life just, it was a waste, because I live life on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
Even when I'm out
so
here bumping
curves. So that answers
curves.
Your question. Thank you. So that answers your question, John, or that person would have been, we would have answered their question when it comes to ghosting. I just, communication is always the key. You know, sometimes people take it very hard when people do go. They get into their emotions. They have, especially if they're a person who doesn't like to be rejected, which no one likes to be rejected, but have a problem with rejection. I think those are the people who feel it the most. Like, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, that type of thing. And then there's people who may be like me or a male. We're confident. It's like, oh, well, you know, hey, that ain't for me. Let me just move forward. You know, everybody kind of takes it different, you know, when we are ghosted. But if you ghost somebody, don't go come back to them like no 6 months later to my, hey, how you doing? Hey, big head, all that foolishness, you know, especially during quarantine.
Right.
That's just awful. That's just awful. So, guys, you know, we have met our time. Some of us came in a little bit late, but that's okay. But, guys, meet us back here on next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure to tell your friends, tell your folks. What I want to do is do a live, not live Facebook, but live YouTube. Let's start small.
Whoa.
For us. Live YouTube is a little bit better. So, yeah, just catch us here and catch our show, and you can actually listen to the show on YouTube as well. I want to thank you guys for joining us. I want to thank our co-hosts. That would be Shakina, Daryl, Melanie, and John. I want to thank you guys for being a part of Relationship 204. You guys have a great night. See you in the chat.
Listen, listen, listen.